Ars Electronica 2008. A new cultural economy.
Leonhard sprechen. Gerd Leonhard kommt aus Basel und aus vielen Flugzeugen, wie auf seiner Webseite steht, ist Gitarrist mit diversen angesehenen Musikdiplomen, auch und insbesondere im Jazz. Er ist Autor von Büchern wie The End of Control, Future of Music und ganz neu eben Music 2.0 und Internet-Entrepreneur, wie wir uns vorhin auf eine Kurzformel verständigt haben, mit der seine vielfältigen Tätigkeiten dargestellt werden können. Gerd Leonhard wird dann den Blick in die Zukunft am Ende dieser Sektion, Zukunft der Musik, aber auch des Internet, wagen.
Okay, do we have audio? Okay, do we have video? Beautiful, isn't it? So, today, you're lucky for several reasons. First, I got a haircut. Second, I had 4 weeks of vacation, which is unusual. Third, I have a copy of my book, Music 2.0, for free. The only provision is that you have to review it on Amazon. That's the kind of attention I want back from you. So there's 10 copies. You can download the book for free at music2.0thebook.com. You can download this presentation sometime tonight at mediafuturevis.com. Just go to the tab where it says presentations. Oh, you're also lucky for another reason. I have recently sourced some great animations for Keynote. I'm trying you out to see how Las Vegas I can get. So these are my books, The Future of Music, Music 2.0, and The End of Control, which you can get a preview on at theendofcontrol.com. It's coming out later this year. So I work as a futurist, whatever that means. I don't have time to explain it, explain the future. These are some of my clients. I work for very large companies, very small companies, government organizations, the CIA. No, just kidding. I run a blog at mediafuturist.com. That's my video channel. I used to be a guitar player. As you can see, all the guitar players are tall and curly. I live in Switzerland, but I spent about 10 years in the U.S. This is the book, and this is the other book. Now, enough of the shameless self-promotion. This is really what I do for my clients. I make a puzzle. I try to solve the riddles of how this all fits together. It is not really possible, but I try it anyway, and this is what happens when I do. I run across the subject of control. So I'm going to talk about this a little bit in my speech. If you have questions, just fire away later at the end. Now, there again, here you go, my super fancy animations. I swear this is the only slide I'm going to use this on, though. So we're heading into a perfect storm. We have an explosive growth in connectivity. We have mobile devices taken over from the computer. In India, China, Brazil, and Russia, people will not be surfing the web on computers. They use mobile devices 100-to-1, absolutely exploding. 6 million new cell phones in India every month. Not cell phones, mobile sign-ups, mobile contracts. The people formerly known as the consumers are taken over, and the declining U.S. dominance creates a huge boom of global changes. America's role in the world organization of copyright of content has declined a lot. I'll explain a little bit more later. But what that means, Brasilia, Russia, India, and China are booming, are taken over, and Europe is in the middle, a very interesting place. As Medvedev, the new Russian president, who I got to meet, fortunately, a couple of weeks ago at a Russian summit, says, the era of economic egoism is ending. I can no longer just do something just because it makes a shitload of money. 20 years ago, it was fine to do whatever made money for any company. Today, all of a sudden, we're standing here, we're saying, well, this may make money, but it has impact on everything else. Economic egoism and copyright egoism, as I will explain later, has consequences. So, and if we have a choice, what do we do today? Do we share or do we not share? Do we do this? All of you, of course, that's why you're here, you are sharing. But this kind of thing is everywhere on the internet now. Every website has a share this button. I'm going to wear a share this t-shirt. And it's basically staring in our face. everywhere that you can share. The Apple iPhone can share, Nokia Ovi can share, the computer can share, the television can share. Everywhere, of course, Bluetooth bus stops are sharing movies with you now. So the IFPI, the International Federation of the Phonographic Industries, is saying copyright is the core mechanism that enables creators to turn an income from their artistic endeavors, and so on. For that reason, it's sacrosanct. In principle, nothing wrong with that, right? But here's the big error, right? Today, copyright, of course, is a core mechanism, but really what matters is attention. If you get me to pay attention to you, you make money. Nobody can get attention and not make money. The conversion, of course, could be a problem. But just getting attention is what it's all about today, and I'll explain a little bit further down the road here. But this is basically where we're heading towards the attention-based economy in content. And I'll be explaining a couple years ago, I think it was more than a couple, maybe 10 or whatever, I don't know, a long time ago, 20 years ago, the wall came down. Now other walls are coming down. I should know because I'm German, but never mind. The de-walling pains are everywhere. The New York Times has said that they're giving away the content in their archives. 3 months ago, they threw away the subscription program that had 250,000 people subscribing. The biggest newspaper in the world got 250,000 people to pay attention, right? Did not work. Advertising, everybody's trying to get out of advertising. The mobile operators are opening up because people aren't buying the walled garden. YouTube is doing away with the walled garden. So these pains are absolutely everywhere. And if we look at this, this is a shot from Coachella Festival. Every single person in the audience has a cell phone, right? And they're not even totally kids, they're just sort of kids, right? But if you look at this, I mean, this is what's happening everywhere. This thing is becoming the central part of how we communicate, how we share, how we tag, how we rate. And, of course, the content industries want to put a huge lock on it, right? Because how can we share and not pay the unit copy that has worked well ever since Elvis Presley, at least for other people, but Elvis Presley? Well, I'm saying this isn't going to work. This lock isn't going to work. Today, 3% of the population are connected on the web. This is going to explode. Mobile devices, Apple wants to sell 500 million copies of the iPhone, and they all interconnect. Just download a little app and share. It's good to bring young people to the audience. I like that. So the implications of a broadband culture, what are they? I want to show you a short clip. And this I got from the internet, I don't know where, but I'll share it with you anyways. Just to sort of document on what's happening in our lives today, right? This is what's driven, of course, not by broadband in this case, but this is how things are changing. This is the speed of change that we have in our lives today. The train goes through and the market builds in a second, right? This is our daily life, right? And we're going to think that we can stop this, right? It's not going to happen. And this is happening around the world. For the content industries, it's the end of control. Controlling this would require a police state that some people are proposing, like Paul McGuinness, the manager of U2. So if we want that police state, let's unplug people who are downloading for free. Let's think about some alternatives. This is a map from Wired magazine talking about who is connected where. And right now, only 3% of the world is on broadband. It's very expensive, right? In some places in Africa, it would be the yearly salary to go on the internet. This is changing, but think about that. Each additional 0.1% represents an additional 7 million change agents, 7 million people who are connecting. That is the whole power of the internet we're looking at every single day. And this, that we all got used to in the past, all of the good music, the motion pictures, the books, all that cool stuff written and done in America or in England or anywhere Anglo. I should be talking, I lived there a long time. This is declining and shrinking away. But guess what? Other people have ideas as well. That happens in India, it happens all over the world, including Nigeria. So today, Our actions actually impact everyone. This is new. What we do here, what we talk about, immediately gets spread out all over the web. What people do in China with Google impacts how Hollywood sells their motion pictures. This is new. This kind of scenario of the universal control room that was just possible until 3 or 4 years ago, we can no longer count on profits that come from total control. The movie industry, the broadcasting industry, the record industry, the book industry, total control over the writer, over distribution, over the money, over the payments, over the performing rights organizations, total control. This is no longer going to work. This kind of thing is impossible today because people aren't stupid anymore. Right? Now we know this tanker has beached, a container ship, I should say, the major record labels, and we have to ask these questions as creators. Can we still insist on the exclusive right to make a copy? Yes, the law says it's our right. And it is. That's what the law says. And I can sit on it, right? I can say it's my right to prohibit you from streaming my video on the web. But can we still do that, and do we make money this way? Leo Lessig tells an example about airplanes flying above farmers' places and the law that had to be changed to accommodate air traffic. Very similar story. I don't think we can and we should refuse the right to make a copy because we don't make money that way. We don't get anything back. We don't get attention. We don't get reputation, and we don't get money. So what's the point? What's the point of suing people? Another beautiful animation. How do you think this is going to play out? Is this going to be a good thing or a bad thing? As a creator, as a writer, musician, composer, filmmaker, blogger, writer, I think it's very important to remember, I think the dangers of an open, shared, and connected ecosystem will pale compared to those of a closed and controlled system. Let's keep in mind, we're building this new system. Every single person that's here, all those 500,000 people or so on FriendFeed and Twitter and all that, we're building this new logic. It's not done. But what are the dangers of an open system compared to the controlled system? Let's ask that question, and then we know what you would rather have. Would you rather have tyranny or democracy? This is work in progress. It will take time. A beautiful sign I found, of course, of all places in Switzerland. I'm making a joke, it's a beautiful place, but hey, a lot of things are not legal there, right? So now on the internet, 95% of the stuff you can do on the internet with music is illegal. Everywhere you click, everywhere you make a link, you download, you share, you're illegal. Estimations have it that 97.2% of the entire European population is criminal. As a consequence of missing licenses on the web, right? Let's all go to jail together. So here's Muxstate that was shut down weeks ago and says on the website there will be unavailable while we sort a problem with the recording industry. I think we'll wait for another 47 years for that to happen. And YouTube saying this video is no longer available. I mean, this is happening everywhere now. So we need a new framework. Right? This isn't working. So let me tell you a story about Google and China. This is something you should watch very, very closely. That is the future of how things will happen all over the world. Google says in Shanghai in August 2008, they have launched a free service that will give users access to free downloads and streams while capturing the advertising revenue and sharing. So if you go to top100.cn, which is owned partly by Google, you log in, the music is free. Well, a miracle of a miracle, they share the advertising money from the search engine with the content owners. And the Chinese content owners have said, we're in. Right? Give us the money from $750 billion a year advertising budget. So they want to beat Baidu, of course, in their context. And Google said its service would initially let internet users search tens of thousands of Chinese songs. Right? But Universal, I think, is already in on this deal in China. This is where it's going in China. I mean, this is going to be downloads of songs, capturing advertising revenue, and sharing it. That sounds like radio, doesn't it? Or like television. It works. There's plenty of money. The global music industry is $30 billion, I think, if I overstate it. The advertising revenues are $750 billion a year. Can we pay music with advertising or whatever other upselling easily? It could be free for all of us already. It's a question of control. This is the shot from the homepage. So here is Kai-Fu Lee, who's a great guy. Check out his speech on Google Video. He says, Google always believes profoundly that mutual interest rather than monopoly is the key to a sustainable future. And we're putting our finger into the painful spot here, right? These companies, and a lot of the artists as well, they like the monopolies, right? Because, simply speaking, when you're on top, the monopoly is a great thing. Maybe that's why we're here, right? Maybe if I was on top, I'd be speaking differently. But let's talk about this. Mutual interest, right? The power of Google. Now, there's something to worry about there as well. But I think there is a creative economy based on mutual interest. That is something we have to think about. So here's a recipe. If we establish an open usage-based license, such as radio has right now, for the internet, we add very large, always on audiences, low-cost access, telecoms that are dying to get into the business, large brands that want to advertise, user-generated content and trusted opt-ins and privacy. I know this is a lot to take in. Hey, we can cook. We can cook a nice meal with this. If the content owners keep refusing the license like they have done, like I have done when I was a content owner, for a long time, it isn't going to work. Right? We can pretend that it does. We can pretend that people are going to change. Right? But this isn't true. The truth is we have to change our recipe. How we cook. Right? That is how we do it. So the future is clearly, if you're looking at this sort of my own graph here, the future is clearly in the growth of attention-based income. If you're looking at the sort of projection your was, is, and near future and so on, I think selling copies is in for some miserable time. That means CDs, DVDs, and sooner or later books and magazines and newspapers. Selling copies will be hard until such time when it becomes really attractive again. That's the midterm future when I think there's a rise again. But here's the good part. Attention-based revenues, I'm not just talking about advertising here. Right? I'm talking about licensing, contract work, all kinds of branding, sponsoring, all kinds of new advertising, and public performance. Right? All of public performance of music has increased the last 4 years. On radio, internet radio, normal radio, television, synchronization. If you look at this, if you're looking in the midterm future, the market is twice as big. All it takes is giving permission, getting off our butts and giving permission. As a rights holder, not to say I can make more money by controlling and refusing, right? Think about the illogic. Suing your own customers. This will be like Swiss Air suing people who fly EasyJet. Right? Fantastic. Whoever thought of that, you know, should fly forever around the globe. So here's one of those guys, Jeff Taylor of the BPI, the British Phonographic Industries. And he says there's a phenomenal amount of piracy out there. We don't believe that society can allow the free consumption of content to persist. Who in the world are they to allow the society anything? God? Right? The society, people do what they do. When people were able to print books, they were able to hold services and read the Bible without the church. And could we all kill them for that? Well, it's been tried. Right? Did the church falter because of the book press? It did not. They made a deal. They became the biggest publishers of Bibles. So, free means no money for the creator is not true. Don't believe it. It can feel like free to us and make lots of money. Radio makes lots of money, right? Water makes lots of money, feels like free. So let's wake up and smell the coffee, Jeff, and stop riding around on a bicycle with square wheels. Right? That isn't going to go anywhere. To give you a quote from 1925 from a record label guy, the public will not buy songs that it can hear almost at will by a brief manipulation of the radio dial. Record labels and publishers and musicians and artists refused to license radio to make it legal for 20 years. Yet radio was the biggest benefactor for music forever, right? The biggest boom of music came from radio. And therefore, we will have a huge boom in music from the internet once we make it legal, and of course from other media as well. So let's look at this. This is a sort of new paradigm, right? This is why, you know, current recording industry companies won't be around in this party, I don't think. It's basically collaborate or perish, right? This is not news to you, right? But a lot of companies that deal with content, collaboration between the creator and their agents is an unknown. So we also have to think of a new definition of content. You know, in the past, we sort of had this thing, okay, here is our creative output, right? And we put a fence around it, and we make it copywritten, right, so that we can sell the units, the copies, right? And unfortunately then, of course, we had these people show up, the people formerly known as the audience, right? People who could change and remix and listen and forward. I mean, right now there's 280 million people sharing content on so-called widgets. I hope you're familiar with widgets, like those little pieces of code you stick in places. 1.1 billion people are sharing stuff on the web using various platforms like Delicious and Flickr. These people are the people formerly known as the audience. So now we have a problem, right? All the stuff that they do is also content. Their click stream, their attention, their conversion, their tags, their rating, that's just as good content as the original content is content. So now we have to think of this as content. All of this is content. Right? All of that creates value. This is the value we have to tap into if we want to make money with content. So let's look at the word copyright for a second. We have this, you know, this understanding in the past that everything you do trickles down from copyright, that's how you make money. Well, every musician, including myself, knows that is not entirely the case. Because here we have the problem with both words, with the word copy and with the word right. Because the word copy is a problem because everything on the web is a copy. Every button you push, everything you save, everything you stream is a copy. In the past, it was possible to make this work because of technology that was limited. So you could say, no, you can't stream this here. Right? All these things are no longer possible. Everything is a copy. Read Kevin Kelly's blog, The Technium. And Yochai was here this morning talking about what he does. He should definitely read his book, The World of Networks. It's just absolutely explosive stuff that fits right in here with the things like the long tail and other stuff. So we have seen nothing yet because we're only at the tip of the iceberg, 3% of the world on broadband. I'm telling you, 6 million people a month getting on a wireless contract in India. This is absolutely going to explode. In 2 years, we will be laughing about our problems of copying today. Right? We have to put the license into the network. So copyright has to become a usage right. Rather than saying you have the right to copy and you pay per unit, you have the right to use. Imagine you sign up with a mobile contract for T-Mobile, Vodafone, or wherever you are, China Mobile, and the music is in the contract. It's included. Imagine using a search engine, music is part of it. This is what you do when you go to the bathroom here, right? You don't put in your credit card to flush the toilet because somebody else has paid for the water. You just happen to also use it, right? Water is paid for, just not by you at that moment. That's the very same idea, a central idea of my first book, Music Like Water. You can read more at musiclikewater.com. Here's a nice guy, Doug Morris. Well, I don't know if he's nice, but he's there. He's the head of Universal Music Group, and he's still there. And he says, if you had Coca-Cola running through the faucet in your kitchen, how much would you be willing to pay for Coca-Cola? That's the problem with the record business. Wow, he's a smart guy. Right? Let's talk about misunderstandings. This is a great example of misunderstandings. That's why I'm showing you this. I think Doug has a misunderstanding. Mayday, can you turn it up a little bit?
Hello, can you hear us? Can you hear us? Can you... Okay, over. We are sinking. We are sinking.
Hello? This is the German Coast Guard.
We're sinking.
What are you thinking about?
So that's what you call a misunderstanding, right? I think, Doug, maybe the answer is simple as this. If you're going to put Coke in the faucet, how about if you get the money from the faucet too? Is that so far-fetched? Give a license to the network. If you, all the music is on the network, give a license to the network. That's called radio. Been done before. Let's do the same thing for the internet. All right, so this is what I'm asking for. A meter in the network that basically meters what we do, of course, with regards to privacy, huge issue that has to be solved, but basically puts the payment in the network. And I think we're seeing this in Denmark with TDC Telecom, where you sign up for their broadband, you got free music. Orange in France, if you sign up with them, you can get free music as part of the deal. In China, this is happening. In India, this is happening. So basically, everyone is connected. Everyone gets to use. Music will be first, followed by motion pictures, videos, books. Right? And I'm not talking about absolutely everything here. I'm talking about basic coverage, right? Cable, TV. But you don't actually feel the payment because you pick a provider that's wrapped it up, right? That is able to give you other values to pay for the music because the money is plenty. Plenty of money. I mean, just the hardware guys could easily cover the entire music industry. Maybe not the motion picture industry. So there are many ways to get connected. Some people will pay. Some people will prefer a tax. I can imagine some countries saying, well, we'll just add it to the TV tax, which I wouldn't. Other people will say, I'll rather watch a few ads and not pay anything. There's many ways of looking at this. But the payment has to be in the network, and most pipes and basic consumptions will feel like free. Mind you, there's a big difference between feel like free and free. Feels like free means I don't feel like I'm paying every time I'm clicking. Right? It's a punishment. iTunes is a punishment for my interest. I love iTunes. I love the Mac, as you can see. But this isn't working. 5 billion songs. I mean, that's, what, 14 hours on file sharing networks. So no one is refused, very few abuse, and many upstream benefits result in the flat rate for digital media and digital content. So how will creators get paid? They get an actuarial sharing of the revenues. In other words, if your song was played 14% of the time in Holland this month, you'll get 14% of the pool of money, just like radio, right? So it's all proportional to the attention. You can share third-party revenues. You can get a direct connection to the user. And Kevin Kelly calls this the new generatives. This I can't explain in the short time that I have. You should look it up yourself at Kevin Kelly's website, kk.org, where he says all these new things are driving money, a lot more money than the selling of the copies, personalization, packaging. Imagine this. In Korea, people pay $3 to put a song into their virtual bedroom. Right, so as they go to a virtual life scenario, it's $3 to hear a song in the bedroom. They would never pay $3 to download it. But a virtual bedroom is different. Right? Dressing it up, right? That's the difference. So I'll read this stuff. This is a very, very serious change that we're proposing. Right? It goes from the copy economy, which has made trillions of dollars, right, to an economy of access, usage, and sharing, and basically building that into the network. We don't have a choice, though. Right? The copy economy is over because we cannot control it unless we want to go to a George Orwell scenario, or even worse. So the challenge for content owners is to have a new and the old business model to essentially say we must put content in the middle and build the money around it with emerging cultural practices. And I think this is the subject of this event, thankfully. So here's the sharing economy, which comes crawling down the screen in a very, very slow pace. But this is where we're going, and I'll be wrapping up fairly soon. We're going to share the output of what we do. We publish, we remix, we proudly find elsewhere, we live stream, we share. That's the output. We share the input, remuneration and cash, attention, reputation, and most importantly, we share the throughput, the data, the feedback that we get from people. Right? This is a system that will work in the future, that will make a lot more money than traditional copyright system. So let's wrap it up. The ship of control is sinking. Sharing is everywhere. The pool of money and a fair way to split it up is the way forward. And I'm not talking about the tax here. Don't get me wrong. I'm talking about money that's in the network. Can be a tax if you wish it to, but I don't think it should be. Attention-based revenue is coming increasing. Collaboration is the only way forward. And attention becomes the major currency in content commerce. So it's very much work in progress, as this beautiful bulldozer shows you. However, thanks for listening. And even the Pope likes what I say, as you can see here. So you can download this stuff at the slideshow later on, and I think now we're going to have a discussion. Thanks for listening.